You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Romans 8, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, I want to read it to you. It says, There is therefore now no condemnation. Everybody say, no condemnation. What is condemnation anyway? Well, let me read this definition to you out of the American Heritage Dictionary. It says this. It says, to express strong disapproval of, to pronounce judgment against. So when someone is condemned or feeling condemned, there's a strong disapproval. They feel judged. There's a sentence. To judge or declare to be unfit for use. So, you know, we do that with buildings. We say this building is condemned. What are we saying? It's no longer fit for human habitation. And a lot of times, people feel condemned. But the Bible says there's no more condemnation. So how many of you know Jesus has taken care of condemnation? So you don't have to feel condemned. But let's be real. A lot of people in the body of Christ feel very condemned. What is that? Why is it there? I think a lot of times when I think of feeling condemned, I think of feeling unworthy, not good enough, never going to measure up, never going to make it, so to speak. And I have a new book coming out. It's called No Longer Condemned. It's from around these messages that I preached, I think about 4 years ago. And I normally wouldn't do something like this, but I feel like the Lord told me to do it. And so before it's released, I want to give you kind of a preview and take a little things. I'm not doing this to sell books. I'm doing this because I believe in this message. I believe in the message. You know, it's like my first book, No Longer Shackled. The reason that book meant so much to me is because from the time I was 16 to about 24, I was definitely shackled. It didn't look like it on the outside. You know, I know sometimes as a word of faith, people will use this, fake it till you make it. And I understand, you know, believe God, do the best you can. But I don't really like that terminology because from the time I was 16 to 24, I faked it. I put on a smile. I went to work. Everybody around me thought I was okay, but I was living in my own hell right between here. I hated life. I didn't want to live. I didn't care about living. I was miserable. I was so miserable. And I'm so grateful that my sister drugged me to a church like this. It was a little small church, a little small charismatic church. I had grown up in a denominational church. I thought those people were nuts and crazy, like maybe some of you think we're all nuts and crazy. But I'm telling you, take a little nuts and crazy and a little wildness sometimes to get people out of their mess. I love Jesus, and I will not apologize for that. He has changed my life. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I speak in other tongues. Amen. I am free. All because of, and I am not embarrassed of him. I am not ashamed of him. I am grateful to him. And so for me, though, that's why that first book helped me so much, or why I wanted to get it out, or why the Lord had me get it out, is because I don't want anyone to live in sin. I don't want anyone to be shackled by sin. And so what happened to me is after I came back to the Lord, I just got so free, and I loved Jesus so much, and I prayed in the Holy Ghost, and I began to walk in the Spirit, and I didn't even know what I was doing. Nobody was teaching me to do it. I was just doing it. And suddenly, I'm free. All those years of torment and mess in my brain, I'm free. I didn't know how I got there. I just like, I'm glad I'm here. And so I wanted to teach people, it's good to stumble onto it, but if I can teach you how to live there, then that's even better. And so this book, No Longer Condemned, it's a lot more like a prequel than a sequel. And so I remember when the Lord began to deal with me, I had some friends that were calling and we were talking and or we were just chatting about the grace message. And are you all grateful for grace? Are you saved by grace? Yeah, a lot of people were hearing some things and some people in other people's church, not ours, were taking things to an extreme. And these preachers were talking to me about greasy grace. Well, Pastor Rod has been preaching on grace in our church for as long as we've been married, 22 going on 23 years. And so we believe in grace. And yet, you know, people were looking at this message, and they were taking it somewhat to an extreme, meaning this, that they were saying, you know what, you can just sin, and it doesn't matter. Grace has covered it. God's already forgiven you. Don't worry about it. And really, how many of you know that's not true? If you live by, if you receive the grace of God, it teaches you how not to sin. Right? Grace is not telling you that you sin and you can just do whatever you want, because that's not true. And so yet I had all these people kind of complaining about the message, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, I was driving somewhere to preach. I was going up to Illinois to preach, which I didn't do a lot of, but I was talking to the Lord about this on the way. And I was by myself in the car, me and probably Brother Hagin was on CD, and we were heading to Illinois, 7-hour drive. And the Lord began to deal with me. And he said, the reason people are needing that message is because they feel condemned. And so they're looking for something, and if they take grace to an extreme, they're still going to be condemned at the end of it. And he began to talk to me. I'm like, okay, that's good. And he said to me, give them the answer. And I thought, well, you'll have to give me the answer before I can give them the answer. And he said, it's simple. It's found in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And so let's read it again. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation. Everybody say no condemnation. So there's no more feeling unworthy. There's no more guilt. There's no more you're unfit for use. No condemnation to them which are in Christ. Well, I just spent the last 6 weeks talking to you about who you are. Is anybody in Christ Jesus? Do I got any new creatures in the room?
Yes.
Has anybody been made righteous? Because
yes.
You were a sinner saved by grace, but now you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Who are you? Do you know who you are? I'm in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So most people who feel condemned have no revelation of who they are. If the devil lies to you and tells you you're a sinner still, or the devil lies to you and says you're unfit, then you're going to feel condemned. And condemnation is a feeling more than a truth, because people feel condemned. God's not condemning you. We shouldn't be condemning one another. And it says, but there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There are two laws here, and you're participating in one, whether you know it or not. You're participating in one or the other. There's two laws at work. One is the law of sin and death, and one is the law of life in Christ Jesus. You're walking in one or the other. Now, how do you walk in one or the other? Well, I'm saved, so I'm automatically walking in the law of life. Not true. Because people are saved who are feeling condemned, and therefore they're walking in the law of sin and death. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? So who's walking in the law of sin and death? Number one, those who are practicing, even if you're born again, if you are practicing sin. Amen. How many know we don't need a lesson on sin? Because you know what, does everybody in the room know what sin is? Well, the Bible says anything that's not faith is sin. But when you're practicing sin, you're disobeying the word of God, and you're disobeying the light that you have of the word of God. And so if you're practicing sin, if I'm practicing sin, what should we do? Stop it. Just stop it. Just stop it. The Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of your flesh. So if you're fulfilling the lust of your flesh, what are you doing? You're not walking in the Spirit. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, then you're also going to feel condemned. So you see how the devil traps people into not only walking in his law of sin and death, but he also makes them feel guilty and makes them feel ashamed. And when you feel guilty and you feel ashamed, what does it do? 1 John 3 says this, that if your heart condemns you, then basically you won't go before the Father. It says if your heart condemns you not, then you'll have confidence before God. So the devil's working it all the time to make you feel condemned. Why? He wants to keep you out of the presence of God. And if he can keep you out of the presence of God, he can also keep you out of church. This is a day when we ought to be gathering together all the more, not the less. So what do I know? A lot of people in the body of Christ feel condemned. And also what they do is, in order not to feel guilty, they also want to hear messages that don't challenge them. They don't want to hear the word, because the word will make you change. And if you don't know how to do that, so the devil is working overtime to keep the body of Christ in condemnation. What is condemnation? It's guilt, it's shame, it's feeling unfit. And when somebody feels guilty or ashamed, then they stay out of church and they also stay out of the throne room. But the Bible says if your heart condemn you not, then you have what? Confidence. So how many know we must get rid of condemnation? And the only way to get rid of condemnation is to teach the truth. And the truth is, what gets rid of condemnation? What I've been teaching you for 6 weeks. Walking in the reality of who you are in Christ Jesus. It's an important message. Everybody say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Say, I am complete in him. Say, I rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. Amen. All those are in him realities. And the more you know about in him, in whom, all in Christ, you know those things, what does it do? It automatically removes condemnation. It's like you got condemnation, but you get the in him realities. It pushes that darkness of condemnation, you feeling unworthy, you feeling unfit, it gets rid of it. Now for me, I could not describe it, but when I was a teenager and a young adult, I felt condemned all the time. See, outwardly, I faked it. I felt so condemned that inwardly, it made me sick for a year until I ended up in the hospital. It came from the root of condemnation. I didn't really realize it then, and really haven't realized it until over I began to study this, what the root, I felt so unworthy. I felt nothing that anybody did, my mom, my dad, my family, nothing anybody did. It's something the devil did. How do you know he knew who I was going to be when I was in my mother's womb? He said, he knows who you all are going to be too. And any trick, anything he can do to keep you under, to keep you from going over, to keep you from being all you're supposed to be. Condemnation is a huge thing that the body of Christ deals with. And what they try to do is, so in order to get rid of it, then I got to figure out, I got to figure it out. And so they gravitate to things like, well, then you just have to believe that it doesn't matter what you do, that it's all fine. And that's not the answer. So the answer is finding the truth from the Word of God. And so what I want to just get started on, and I really do mean just get started on, is I want to talk to you about that second verse. Again, let's look at that, Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I want to talk to you about this. I want to look at John 10:10. This is Cornerstone. You should have John 10:10 memorized, right? It says, the thief comes to do what? The wages of sin is, who is the author of death? Devil. So anytime he's the father of lies, he's the author of death. He's the author of stealing, killing, and destroying. When Adam and Eve came into the earth, the Bible says they were created from the dust. I don't know if it was stardust. It was dust, all right? It was dust. And so the Bible says that God formed man. He formed him. He got his hands dirty. And then he breathed the ruha, the breath of life, into them, and they became a living being. In the order and in the likeness of God, God said, we created male and female. We created them, you know, and so they were in the God class. How do I know that? Because God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth, right? And then what happened? You all know the story. What happened? The serpent came in, the devil came in, he deceived Eve, and then Adam willingly disobeyed. And what happened at that moment? The life of God left them. How do I know that? Because that life that God breathed into them connected them to God. And God came down every day in the cool of the day. And this day, he said, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? What was that? There was a disconnect. Was it that God didn't know where they were? God knew exactly where they were. But what did they do? They were hiding. Why? Because they were disconnected from God. Reminds me of another son. Father, why have you forsaken me? What happened? That was from Jesus' willing side to be disconnected from the Father so that he could go into hell so that you and I wouldn't have to. A lot of times people don't like this terminology, but it's the only way I know to explain it. Adam was alive unto God. Remember what the devil said to Eve? Do you remember what he said? Because she said to him, because he was trying to get her to eat of that tree, that one tree the Lord said not to. And he said, she said, remember what Eve said? Well, she said, we can't even touch it, lest we die. How many know God didn't say that? But how many know they were not supposed to eat of that tree? And when they ate of it, they did what? They died. But they didn't drop over. As a matter of fact, Adam lived till he was about 930. There was so much life in him because God is what? I was listening to Brother Hagin on the way home. We went to, where did we go? Cleveland, Tennessee, because the Hagins were up there, and we're working on getting them back here at the end of this year, so let's get them here. But anyway, I don't know, we were kind of nostalgic a little bit, and so they had this, you know, everything, and, you know, Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, is a lot like Elvis. Y'all remember Elvis when he died? He had a hit song after he died. Y'all remember that? Some of you don't remember that. How many know Elvis was not singing after he died? They had one in the vault that they never released. And so then he had a number one after he died. Well, they're still doing that with Brother Hagin. They're still releasing some things. And so I was in there just to see if there was anything new. And I just came across this CD set that I don't think I've ever had before. I think I've listened to everything. But so I got it really basically just to listen to his voice. But in this, he said, and it's interesting, it's kind of along this subject. But he said, God is three things. God is life, God is light, and God is love. The three L's of God. God is life, and the life is the light. God is light, and God is love. Those three powerful forces are working together. And what happened when Adam, because God breathed the breath of what? He breathed his, God has always been. God is, there is no end, beginning or end with him. I know that makes your brain go tilt, but there is no beginning. There is no end in him. He is life. Whenever God created on the earth, he didn't say darkness quit being. He said what he wanted, and he said light be. From that life, oh, I wish I could get this to you. From the life that he is, he creates what he wants, and it comes to natural life because he is life. Yes. You see, Adam and Eve then, because they sinned, the law of death, because the wages of sin is it began to work in them. But they were so alive with God, it took 930 years to kill him. Because there was that much life in them. But make no mistake about it, the day they ate, they died. What was that? Separation. What happened to Jesus? He willingly decided to be separate. I know people don't like that terminology, but to die spiritually. And how do I know he died spiritually? Because he's the first begotten from among the dead. He's the first begotten from among the dead. He was dead, not just physically dead. He was separated from God. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father in Isaiah said, he had to look away from him. He had to look away. But guess what? On the third day, when it was enough, the spirit of life and light went down into the bowels of hell, the Holy Ghost, and he raised him up, and he raised us up together with him. With what? The life of God. The life of God. The greatest display of power ever was when Jesus was raised from the dead. With what? The life of God. Hallelujah. Listen. Yeah, we'll get back to that in a minute. I mean, that's why it's so important. You look at, what is it, John chapter 21. This is for next week, but it's right now. John chapter 20, verse 22. John 20, 22, I think. After Jesus was raised from the what? From the dead. He's alive unto God. And remember when he got together with all the disciples? And when he had said this, he breathed. Why? Because he was man walking on the face of the earth, but now he's been raised from the dead, and he's the Word made flesh, and now he's back to the God side, and from the God side, he did what? He breathed on them, just like God the Father breathed into Adam. The same, it's not a different breath. It's not a different life. When God breathed into Adam and he became a living being and he was ruling and he was reigning, and suddenly after that, mankind died and there was no way to bring it, even though they were physically walking around, but they were dead men. They were dead men. Make no mistake about it. They were dead and separated from God. The only thing that can really make you alive is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and make him the Lord of your life and get a revelation of the life and the light and the love of God, which works on the inside of you. And Jesus, using the same breath that God breathed into Adam, breathed into mankind. He said, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. It's a wonder to me how the church, we can't quit talking about the Holy Ghost. We can't quit talking about the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. He is the one who is bringing the breath of God to the earth right now. And he needs to be recognized. He needs to be given space to. He needs to be given room to, because he is the breath of God. He is the wind of God. He is the power of God, and he is to be honored and respected. And he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And what happened? They came alive. They came alive. When you got born again, you didn't know it, but somebody breathed into you the breath of life, and you became a living, you were alive again. Yeah, but I was alive. No, it's called born again. It's called born again for a reason. You were alive physically, but you were dead spiritually. And then when you got born again, you were born again. The life of God is on the inside of you, and we need to be paying more attention to who really is living on the inside of us. That's why we can say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It's the life of God. It's the light of God. It's the love of God. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 10 and 10, the thief who operates in the law of sin and death steals, kills, and destroys. What causes you to stay in the law of sin and death? The Bible says the wages of sin is, all right? So if we're living in or practicing sin, we are going to, whether you're born again or not, you're going to operate in that law. It's a law. Just like gravity is a law, it's going to work. Okay? But the other people who do is if you have sin consciousness. In other words, if you don't understand who you are in Christ, you will still think of yourself like a sinner, and that condemnation and the law of sin and death will work in you. But then Jesus said, he said, I've come. Aren't you glad he came? Yes. That they might have Zoe. Zoe life. Zoe. Everybody say Zoe. The God kind and quality of life. Now, this is not a life like, it's not alive existing. This is a life. This is power. This is why the love of God, the light of God, the life of God are so important. This life does affect everything we do, and we need to become more cognizant of it. We need to become more aware of it and have revelation of it. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. In John 3:15, it says, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And we'll look at this a little further, but let me ask you something. When does eternal life begin? I know if you've grown up in church, they told you that eternal life began when you died. That when you go to heaven, when you get to heaven, that's eternal. You have eternal life. Eternal life. You see, what they mean is you get to exist forever in heaven. But that's really not true, because anyone who is born on the earth in some way in that definition has eternal life. In other words, when someone is born, they're going to live forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. They're, I don't know, this might scare you, immortal. They're going to live forever. The real you is going to live forever somewhere. And that should make us realize that when you look at someone, we're talking heaven or hell, this is a real deal. This is important. We can't be quiet. We can't sit down and shut up. We got to tell them the truth. It's not nice. It's not kind to let people die and go to hell around us. It's not good for their blood to be on our hands. We got to tell somebody. Well, I don't want to offend them. Well, keeping someone going from hell is, that's a good deal. And yet, we're so afraid in this culture to offend somebody, but it won't offend them if you talk to them in love and be real and not be religious, just out of concern and love. And so anyway, so eternal life, so it's not, eternal life doesn't begin when you go to heaven, and everyone is going to live forever somewhere. So what is this eternal life? What is this Zoe? This God kind and quality of life. It begins, and it should be operating in me when I'm born again. That's when eternal life, God, the God kind of eternal life, the, what he's talking about. Because the Bible says, to whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so this eternal life doesn't begin when I get to heaven. Eternal life should begin when I receive him. And so what is eternal life? Well, it's the God power and quality of life. It's heaven coming to earth. It's everything that the life of God and everything it is. I don't know if I can explain it to you. You're just going to have a revelation of it. And so I'm going to keep trying though. And first in John chapter 1 verse 4, it says this, in him was life. In who? In Jesus was life. The life of God. And the life was the light of men. So this life produces light. And I'll tell you, this life also produces love, because God is life, God is light, God is love. And all of that is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. Everybody say, I have. Eternal life. Why? And this life is in his son. When Jesus came to earth, he was all man and all God. And in him dwelt the fullness thereof. And everywhere he went, he brought the life of God. When he showed up on the scene, he had to multiply the food, because that's what life would do. He had to raise the dead, because that's what life would do. He had to heal the sick, because that's what life would do. The life of God was in him and was him. He was the life of God displayed on the earth. If you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. And God is life. And that's why he went everywhere he went, and he undid death and the wages of sin that was causing death. Oh, I mean, it said this, and he's given unto you this life. This life dwells in you. His life. I want to get it in. His life. Yeah. His life. No, you're not just alive anymore. You've got the life of God in you. That song they were singing. Patsy Caminetti, she's one of our missionaries we support in Australia. She was an instructor in Bible school, and she wrote this song. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got his life, his nature, and his ability. I've got the life of God in me. And if you'll meditate on this life, it'll change your life. If you'll meditate on the life of God in you, this life, in him, there's no darkness at all. There's no death at all. There's no hate at all. In him, there's love. In him, there's light only. And in him, there's the life of God. You see, when God came on the scene and something was in tohu and fohu, the chaos of it all in the earth, he didn't say, quit being in chaos. He said what he wanted from his life. From the very life of him, he said, light be. He didn't say, darkness go away. That's like if you're dealing with sickness. Quit telling it. And I get this. You know, people say, well, I'm not sick in Jesus' name. I'd rather you say that than I'm sick in Jesus' name. But that's not how life talks. Life says, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. It is a slight variance, but one is life talking. You're talking from God's point of view, and it's life talking. The word of God. Jesus said his words are light and they're life. He's the bread of life. It's so important, this life that's in the Son. Verse 12. Do you have the Son? Yes. Then you have what? See, you say, yeah, I'm going to heaven one day, but I need you to quit thinking that way. I need you to start thinking, I have the life of God now. I've got eternal life now. I've got the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says in Romans that power that raised Jesus from the dead will even quicken your mortal flesh. It's the life of God. It's the life of God. And it'll quicken your mortal flesh. What does that mean? In the setting, it means it'll cause that death and sin will have no dominion over you. It talks about, you know, your members not yielding them to death and destruction, but yielding them unto righteousness. These are your members. You determine which law you're going to walk in. If I yield my members to sin, then I'm yielding to death. But if I yield my members to righteousness, if I yield my mouth to righteousness, then I yield my mouth to life. And then life is attracted to me. The life of God that's in me begins to consume me. And it causes sin to go away. I don't have to fight so hard because the life and the light and the love of God just drives all that stuff away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has the Son, has life. Everybody say, I have life. He that doesn't have the Son has not life. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation, making you feel guilty, making you feel ashamed, making you feel like you're not worth anything. But what is the cure? The cure is that you would learn the law of life in Christ Jesus. The law of, it's a law. It's a law. The law of life. There's a law of sin and death, but there's also a law of life. And if you begin to meditate on the life of God, if you'll begin to meditate on the life of God, he is life. There's no beginning and there's no end in him. He is life. And understand that when I walk in sin, when I commit sin, then I begin to work again in the law of sin and death. And sin always brings death. But I can fight that law by only just walking in the light, walking in the life, walking in the love. When I walk in him, then that life begins to work on the inside of me. And that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that life, he was dead. And he is the first begotten. He's no longer the only begotten. He's the first begotten. He was the only begotten. Now he's the first begotten of the dead. Because you and I have been raised from the dead too. Are you raised from the dead? What's working in you? The life of God. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. And that eternal life is working in my body. It's working in my life. It's attracting others. Oh, I would love to tell you so much more, but I'm going to have to wait. But I want to tell you this, that condemnation has to go. But you just saying, I'm not condemned in Jesus' name, I'm not condemned in Jesus' name, is not going to fix it. If you feel guilty, just say, I'm not guilty in Jesus' name. I'm not guilty in Jesus' name. It's not going to fix it. I love praying in tongues, but just praying in tongues is not going to fix it, because when you pray in tongues, you build upon your most holy faith. If you don't believe, then it's not going to really help you there. So if you feel, somebody in this room, listen to me. If you feel condemned, you're going to have to take some steps to get out of that condemnation, because condemnation is working in you death. It's preventing you from walking in the light and the life of God. And if you feel unworthy, if you feel like you're not good enough, like I did all those years, I stumbled into this by accident, by getting filled with the Holy Ghost and falling in love with Jesus and just walking in the Spirit. And as I walked in the Spirit, then I didn't fulfill the lusts of my flesh. And as I walked in the Spirit, the Bible says in Romans 8, 1 and 2, that it kept me from, it removed condemnation from me. I didn't know what I was doing. But now that I know what I'm doing, I want to help you that you can get there right away and stay there. Because then it happened to me years later, actually after I got out of Bible school, then the enemy came to me again in a very strong way. And again, I start feeling condemned. The devil, it's a tool that he uses to keep you from feeling. He wants you to feel that. Again, condemnation, remember what we saw in 1 John 3. Condemnation happens where? It happens in your conscience, which I believe is a part of your spirit. The Bible says if you're not condemned, you have confidence before God and really before the devil. Condemnation makes you cower. Condemnation makes you afraid of God, afraid of the devil, and afraid of the faces of men. It's fearful. There's a lot of fear involved with it. There's a lot of worry involved with it. But I want to see a bunch of people get free. Amen. We're going to flip your house. We're going to flip your house. In other words, this is your house and you feel condemned and no, it's not fit for habitation. I'm about to flip your house. The Holy Ghost is about to flip your house. Amen. He's going to restore it. The Bible says he restores our soul. He wants to restore you. In other words, he wants you so free of condemnation and the life of God just flowing out of you, changing your life, helping everybody around you. Come on. I mean, if we just all got full with the life of God, it would attract people. Amen. Because they want that life. They need that life. They want that joy. But we've got to get rid of all condemnation, all guilt, and all shame. How? By knowing who we are in Christ and by learning to walk in the law of life. And when you walk in the law of life and you understand eternal life, when you understand Zoe, the God kind and quality of life, it'll begin to change who you are. It can even do what it did for me. It'll change your personality. It'll change how you see yourself when you look in the mirror. It'll change how you interact with people. It'll get you ready for what God has for you. Because when you feel condemned, you want to be all by yourself. You'd rather watch, what do y'all watch? What's that stuff, you know? Not YouTube Netflix. I mean, yeah, you just stay by yourself. You just hunker down. That's not God's life for you. It's not God's best for you. He wants to use you. He wants to help you. trying to get to a place where I can close, but I just want to tell you this. Everybody just say, no condemnation, because I'm in Christ Jesus. I will walk in the Spirit, and I will participate in the law of life in Christ Jesus.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.